News Radio 1180 WHAM proudly welcomes you to Sound Bites. This is America's longest-running computer show. Call the show now, 222-1180. The Choice One toll-free line, 1-800-295-1180. Or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Hello, good morning, Mr. and Mrs. America and all the chips in the PC. It is Sunday, the 9th of January, Anno Domini 2005. And you lucky people, you're listening to Sound Bites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
And this is the greatest computer show in the known universe. And we will be bringing you news, views, and views and stuff you can use.
And apparently a few
other stuff that we don't know about.
And we'll start with Steve because he was the first one to make some annoying little crack.
No, that was Dave.
No, you started.
But Dave overwhelmed me again.
But you started.
Thank you very much.
Well, more lawsuits this week in the Apple community. We have been mentioning in the past few weeks that Apple has been suing websites for our trade secrets. And things have been getting a little nastier earlier this week. Apple filed another lawsuit in the Superior Court of Santa Clara County.
How superior is it?
Apparently pretty superior. The website thinksecret.com, which is known for publishing wild Apple rumors, although not as bad as crazyapplerumors.com.
Who apparently didn't get this one and so aren't being sued.
Right. ThinkSecret has been pushing news about a $500 Macintosh to be released at Macworld Expo next week. Tomorrow morning is the keynote in San Francisco. And the really interesting thing is that when Apple sues a site or takes down, or Apple Legal, you know, takes down pictures from a website, that usually means they're right. You'd think they'd you'd think they'd sue everybody just to throw off the rumor mongers. So apparently there is a $500 Macintosh coming this week. There've been a lot of rumors about it over the last few years, but it's traditionally been a market Apple hasn't wanted to compete in. The margins on a $500 computer, even for Dell and Gateway and PC companies, you can barely make $50 on it. As a vendor, we generally only make, you know, $10 on the sub $1,000 computers.
Right.
So the margins are so tight, it's not something Apple has wanted to do.
Right. But generally, and this is something I don't think we can stress enough. For every vendor, this is true.
Right.
You know, you go in there and you're willing to drop $1,500 on a computer and a printer and a monitor and everything else, and you're thinking,
you can knock $300 off, can't you?
These people got to be living high on the hog.
Yeah.
And that was true back when I sold computers,
the
when there was a 40% margin. Exactly.
Now it's 5%.
If you're lucky.
If you're lucky, and the credit card company takes 2.5% when the customer swipes their credit card.
So you're down to 2.5% of whatever you've taken in. And for that, you have to have inventory, pay your employees, do the taxes, advertise, keep the building running.
Right.
I mean, it's just not, you know, it's not the heyday it used to be.
When you look in the retail market.
Boy, did I get out at the right time.
Yeah. When you look in the retail market and you see companies having 50% off sales or 75% off sales, that means they had a 200% markup.
Yeah, exactly.
we have a 2% markup.
Right. It's not like cars.
Right.
Right.
So it's interesting to see what's going to happen. And there are websites that picked up a lot of the pictures that have been posted before ThinkSecret got taken down. Apparently, there's a guy that knows a guy that knows a guy that works at the convention center in San Francisco. And of course, this weekend, all the companies are setting up their booths for the trade show starting tomorrow. So apparently one of the moving guys is shipping carts full of these computers into the convention floor and is publishing photos of them. They look suspiciously like photos taken in an elevator of the iMac G5 last trade show that turned out to be completely wrong.
Right.
So the iHome Media Center is what they're touting. It looks like an overstuffed iBook, or people are likening it to a TiVo. It may plug into your television. It may need a monitor. But it's a DVD player, you know, basic computer. And what they're looking at is that the current low-end Mac, the $800 eMac, sells for about $650 on the education market, and that's including a 17-inch monitor. So you take the monitor out, redesign the case a little cheaper, and you could get a $500 computer. On the other side of the lawsuit news, Apple is being sued this week. Gentleman
it's all about the lawsuits for Apple this
lawsuits,
week.
All about the lawsuits, yeah. A gentleman named Thomas William Slattery has filed a class action suit. He's got lawyers involved.
Wow.
A class action suit in the Northern District of California. I don't know where Santa Clara is. Is that Southern California?
No.
So in the Northern District of California. And he is suing under federal antitrust law, saying that Apple is a an illegal monopoly recording music that you buy from the Apple Store only runs on the Apple Music Player.
Ah.
Which, you can see arguments both ways. Yeah. You know, Apple can control their own products, but the same is true for every music store, that I cannot buy something from the Napster Music Store and play on my iPod, because the Windows digital rights management doesn't work. So the fact that Apple's digital rights management doesn't necessarily work on other players is what the crux of the issue
is. Well, just because the other guy's wrong doesn't make you right.
Right. And they point to the Real Networks, who last summer came out with their Harmony software that were able to patch the iPod to let it play other companies' music. Apple plugged that in software updates and accused Real of violating their copyrights, which Real would have had to have done to work around a copyright. It's this whole Digital Millennium Copyright Act. It's not just that you violated someone's copyright. That's always been illegal.
Right.
The fact that you reverse engineered and get around someone's copyright without ever seeing their copyright code is also illegal under the DMCA. So Apple blasted Real. Real said, basically
take a hike,
and I was trying to think of something I could say in there. And then Apple broke Real software in the next version of the iPod or iTunes Music. So it's hard to say where things are going. You would love every store to work on every product, but a company has to protect their own products. And one of the things that they're pointing out is that Apple's the iTunes Music service has a 70% market share, and all of the other stores put together are only 30%. So it's Apple's store is winning in the customers' minds.
Right.
And the fact that the guy is using an iPod and buying from Apple's store, what else can you buy from another store?
Right, exactly. All right, Dave.
Okay, some new toys coming out.
Ooh,
yeah. Well, Seagate is now showing a small 5 gig flash drive.
Pretty amazing.
Yeah,
which is rumored to be in the new iPod Flash.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, this is really sweet, folks. I mean, being able to, jump from a 2.5 gig version now up to a 5 gig, literally doubling the amount of space that you can put on a flash drive, a flash card, is really getting things smaller and better. So that's one of the new toys that, like I say, you're not going to see much as far as the processor in. But that's definitely one of the things that they're going to be focusing on, that maybe some of the other hardware and software will now be able to catch up with this processor speed, because that's always been the one thing. Software has always been, used to be, software jumped over hardware, then hardware would jump over, keep leapfrogging. Well, now that AMD and Intel have both said, well, we're kind of gearing back and nothing's coming out really until 2006, this really gives the software and hardware, other hardware people, the advantage of now adding newer things that people are going to ooh and want.
Right.
Another prime example of it is Intuit, biggest accounting company out there for small businesses and that, and even individual accounts, are adding a lot of new features and that into their 2005 version, with more tutorials. So if folks aren't really accountants, they're offering more tutorials and making it easier and user-friendly to work through the menus. The newer version makes it simpler to apply customers' payments to the corrected invoice, whether to pay by check or you downloaded their credit card information. So a lot of folks, if you're taking doing an online service, you'll be able to download that information, say with a credit card through encryption, to apply that to Intuit, which before was a big problem.
Right.
AMD now is getting a new mobile processor. They unveiled the Turan. It's a brand new mobile processor that is thin and light in a notebook. But here's the other key thing, and that's really making it a step apart from the other Intel chips. It consumes 35 watts of power, less power than the Intel chips.
Nice.
So that's big. I mean, 35 watts, when you're talking about a battery, you know, that doesn't last that long, you definitely might want to look into that. And they're also saying that Foxfire is mean and lean and definitely
that would be
a
Firefox.
Product. Firefox. That
all right, we're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Lins, and me, Nick Francesco, and each and every one of you on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Wow. Online, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. Now, back to Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
He's absolutely right, you know, because I am Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
Rob Linton.
So he wasn't 100% correct. He missed you entirely. I can't believe that.
He's fired.
He's gone. He's out of here. And this is indeed Soundbites. And let's talk about the news from the Microsoft side of things. Microsoft has a new antivirus program that's in beta. We'll talk about that a little later because it has to do with our poll. But the folks at Weatherbug, which I've always thought of as spyware myself, they're a little miffed at Microsoft's classifying them as spyware. Their software did flag a component of AWS Convergent Technologies Weatherbug application.
Yeah, Weatherbug itself isn't spyware, but everything else it loads.
Exactly. Weatherbug itself is pretty cool. What it does is it puts a little thing down in your in your
which
icon bar there.
With Netscape 7.2.
Right, and it shows you the temperature in your area, which is kind of a nice thing.
I use one called Meteorologist. It's 31 and cloudy here in Rochester.
Yes, it is. And I use one at work. That's a dock station for Windowmaker. But Weatherbug is supposed to be pretty cool, and it does ship with America Online AOL Instant Messenger. Fetches the temperature and weather-related content for users, but it tracks a user's geographic location to personalize the data, and it used to at least bring a whole lot of additional stuff along with it, which I don't know if it still does because I don't run it anymore. Anyway, they are upset at Microsoft for classifying them as spyware. If you're the sort of person who uses WINS, the Windows Internet Name Service, there's a bug and there's an exploit to take advantage of that bug. So be a little careful. Increase in hacker probes directed at TCP port 42 and UDP port 42. So you have to be very careful. Patch your WINS servers.
There is yet stop using it and use the real DNS.
Yeah, use DNS for real, exactly. There are a few Windows critical flaw fixes on the way Tuesday, so you're vulnerable up until then. But there will be some fixes out, so be prepared to do some fixing on Tuesday. Those of you who download music in a less than 100% legal fashion, if I say illegal, there are the whiners out there. Maybe it's not illegal. I can do whatever you want. Anyway, half of what you're going to be downloading from now on is probably going to be ads and attackware, because a lot of the companies like the RIAA are actually putting out fake versions of music files that either play a little bit of the music and then say, you've stolen this music, you shouldn't do that, and then shut down. Or they'll shut your system down, or they'll pop up a bunch of ads, or they'll actually be a virus in your system.
So couldn't they get sued, though, for then promoting spyware and...
Now, see, there's a loophole in Windows Media Digital Rights Management process that allows companies to create fake modules and link them to adware. They have the right to do this legally because it's still their music. They can put anything they want in one of the files they create, and if you download it, that's your business.
That's probably why Apple isn't using the Microsoft DRM.
That's exactly right. A spyware bill has been reintroduced in Congress to allow fines of up to $3 million. That's going to be just as useful as all the rest of them have been. And there is a new digital rights management scheme out that could make current DVD players obsolete. They have developed a content protection system for DVDs. Hewlett-Packard and Philips did this. Designed to protect users, I'm sure that means prevent users, from burning protected DTV broadcasts. The encryption system will be built into next-generation DVD players as well as media. Without a player and disc using the new video content protection scheme, DVD burners won't be able to record digital video. So it's almost over. Opera has delivered a new beta of their Linux Windows browser that does voice and does all kinds of other interesting things. New easier-to-use interface, RSS client, all kinds of interesting stuff. So If you're a if you're an opera fan, you really want to check out that beta. But remember that it is a beta. And Passport, that venerable thing from Microsoft, where you give them all of your financial and personal information and they let you into other people's sites. eBay has dropped support for it. They've also dropped support for .NET entirely.
And Microsoft's dropped it.
And Microsoft, consequently, is now phasing out Passport. Too bad. All right, and that's it for the news. We are done with the news. We're going to go and to the phones after the next break. But before that, I do want to remind you of one interesting thing. We've talked a lot about viruses. We've talked a lot about problems on systems. And we've also touted at times the Security Tango website at securitytango.com. Well, one of the things you can do at the Security Tango, there's a bunch of buttons down the left. We always talk about the Let's Dance button. There's also a Security News button, which is updated several times a day and talks in general about security vulnerabilities. If you're in, whether you're running an individual system or whether you're one of the many folks who listen who runs either a small or medium-sized business's tech department, it behooves you to have your ear to the ground when it comes to this stuff. Now, this isn't 100% the best site to go to. The best one I found you actually have to pay a lot of money for. But this gives you a lot of things that are out there. It'll tell you about a bunch of vulnerabilities from a bunch of different companies that publish this information. So if you're the sort of person who is interested at all in keeping your computer and your company safe from these problems, you can find out about the vulnerabilities here and then take the steps that they advise, obviously, to update files and to fix things and to do all of that sort of thing. So I would suggest that you use the Security Tango website at securitytango.com for more than just dancing the tango. You can also get lots and lots of security news and stuff like that
trying
on the site.
Trying to keep at least one step ahead of it.
One step ahead.
You know, I mean, it's an ongoing battle, I mean, with folks nowadays. And, you know, they got to realize that, you know, it's something they got to do literally just about daily. If they're on the web a lot, you know, hello, I had one client come in, you know, well, it's reinfected again. Well, yeah, have you run it? Well, no, I've only, you know, done a little surfing in that. They had, you know, another 300.
A lot is 30 seconds or more.
Yeah. Right. Half of my job is checking this stuff out and making sure everything is clean. That's what I do for a living. We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, and your phone calls on the greatest computer show in the known universe, Soundbites, on 1180 WHAM.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
And this is indeed Soundbites. And as I promised, we are going to go to the phones. And our first caller is Bill from Gasport, New York. Hiya, Bill. What's your question?
I got a little problem with my nephew and everything. He has XP Windows, and the only thing is we can't get it running at all.
Okay.
We can get it the somewhat boot up, and then it puts a screen on. I can't recall what it was, the screen and that, but there was a lot of errors that indicated. And so what we try to do in that is we try to go to the setup system and turn on the CD-ROM and all of that, checked it on, and it just won't recognize it. It tries to boot up the CD-ROM because we put in the XP CD-ROM for the drivers and accessories, and it won't recognize the CD-ROM at all, and it just keeps bringing up the same error message and everything.
Is this an upgrade, Bill?
Is it an upgrade?
Mm-hmm.
No, he said no. He said, I said, did you get it ever upgraded? And he said, no. He said, what ended up happening in the past, what he would end up doing, it wasn't recognizing the mouse. So he couldn't shut it down from the shutdown safety mode and everything. And so what he would do is just turn it off and keep doing that way and that. And eventually it just stopped. It just kept bringing up an error message for him. And I asked him, and that is a possibility, if he could possibility have a virus in there. He didn't know, and there's no way of recognize the CD-ROM.
Yeah.
So this way you can put the virus scan in, or you can't get it to the Internet.
Question for you.
Yeah.
Now, this was a new machine with a new install of XP on it originally?
Yes.
and it was working fine.
Yeah, until the mouse wasn't being recognized. And I told him I didn't want to go back in into the mouse system and that and reinstall.
Yeah, he might have to format the whole machine and reinstall.
Yeah, but it won't read the hard drive at all, what you or the CD, but, to boot from.
Do you have it booting? Did you go into the BIOS, though, and change it to boot from the CD first?
We tried that. And we put it in, gave you, if you wanted to go in the safe mode, we said yes.
No, earlier than that.
No.
Yeah, it's, what it sounds like is the CD-ROM drive is not being recognized.
Right, I don't think it is.
Well, it won't in safe mode.
Yeah, but we even tried regular mode, too.
XPLC the CD route.
Not necessarily.
Yeah, I've had it all.
Well, but wait a minute. If he's gone into the BIOS and said boot from the CD-ROM first, and then it suddenly starts asking him if he wants to boot in safe mode, he's past the CD-ROM.
Right, because the first thing when you do, you put the CD in for XP and boot it up, and you got it booting from the CD-ROM first, it flashes kind of fast, but it says if you want to boot from the CD, you got to hit any key. Then and there. And if you don't, then it starts to go booting right into Windows. It doesn't do a self-start. You've got to watch the screen that when you put the XP CD in, it'll say, hit any key to boot from the CD. Otherwise, if you don't, it tries to boot right back into Windows.
Some computers, depending on their BIOS, have a boot menu button. So hit like escape, and it asks you, do you want to boot from the CD or the hard drive or a floppy drive?
I didn't know that. He didn't have directions and everything.
Yeah.
But we just had a hard time putting the CDs in and everything. And when you do it and you turn it back on and everything, you can hear it trying to start up. And then next thing you know, it goes to the error message every time.
Bill, what it sounds like is you've got some hardware problems there. It doesn't sound like software at all at this point. I mean, obviously, the hardware has caused software problems.
Okay.
But we've got to fix the hardware problems first. So it sounds to me like it's definitely time to take it somewhere and get it looked at by somebody. Thanks. I'm sorry, but that's kind of where you are at this point. Yeah. Our next caller, Neil from Fairport, New York. Welcome, Neil. What's your question?
Hi, good morning.
Hi.
Day after Christmas, I update Norton Antivirus. Did the security tango and downloaded Service Pack 2.
Oh!
Oh, yes. And since then, Microsoft Works will not run. I got three kids, and they all need it. You can get into the open it, but you can't go any further than tasks.
Uninstall Service Pack 2.
Pardon me?
Uninstall Service Pack 2.
Okay.
Something in your computer isn't compatible
with
it.
Yeah. I had one client that it literally messed up his Sony camera. His sound, because of the sound card on there, and his all-in-one printer. I uninstalled Service Pack 2. Everything's working fine.
Really?
Yep.
All right, because I uninstalled Works, and now when I'm trying to reinstall it, it says I need to close other programs.
Right. Now, get rid of Service Pack 2.
Okay.
Then reinstall Works.
Well, it's telling me I need to close Internet Explorer, and I guess my big question is, how do I do that? I've tried numerous ways.
You cannot quit Internet Explorer from Windows.
Okay.
It's telling, you can quit Internet Explorer.
Yeah.
It's always running in the background
Explorer,
waiting for you.
Explorer, that's Explorer.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So it won't let me continue to set it up and install it.
Right. Get rid of the Service Pack 2, do a reboot, and then reinstall Works, and 10-to-1 odds it's going to work.
Okay.
Yeah, you may need to go to the manufacturer of all of the pieces of your computer, the motherboard, the screen, the video card, the network card, and make sure you get all the XP-compatible Service Pack 2 drivers.
Right.
For each of those pieces.
And they don't all have them.
Right. If it's a name-brand computer, then you can go to their website, and it has everything for you. But home-built, you got to find yourself.
Right. We're going to take another quick break, but we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Rock on Linton, and me, Nick Francesco, on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Wham! From PCs to Macs, these guys can answer your questions. Back to more Soundbites on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
And this is indeed Soundbites. We're back to the phones, and we're going to talk to Bob from Greece, New York. Welcome, Bob. What's your question?
Well, I'm having some problems here this morning. I recently updated to Service Pack 2 and to Firefox, and I have a lot of spyware on here. I've run Adaware 3 or 4 times in a row, and it just can't delete certain types of...
Did you run the entire Security Tango in order?
No, I haven't done that yet.
Yeah, the problem is that any one of the antivirus programs or anti-spyware programs that are out there doesn't get everything. That's why we put together the Security Tango, which is a series of steps that all together will clean out your system. Skipping any one of the steps or just running one program simply won't get all the things.
Yeah, because SpyBot goes deep into the registry where Adaware goes wide.
Right.
It only hits the registry a little bit, but it looks for other programs.
And Stinger, for example, will find programs that shut down your antivirus and spyware programs and kill them.
And quite often you have to run all these in safe mode so the spy programs aren't running and won't let you delete them.
Right, exactly. So there's a lot to it, and so just running any one of these programs won't do it. Our suggestion is go to the website and run the Tango top to bottom. I still have to update it. It's just an impossibly busy week. But go to the website, securitytango.com, and run the Tango top to bottom. Okie doke. Thanks. I wish it were easy, but at least it's out there. Our next caller is Ron from Ontario, New York. Welcome, Ron. What's your question?
Good morning, guys. Really appreciate your show.
Thanks. Thank you.
I got an easy one to start with.
Good.
I currently have 2 optical drives. I have a CD-ROM, and I also have a CD writer.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking to put in a DVD reader-writer.
Mm-hmm.
Which one of the other 2 drives would you recommend I drop?
Which one's
the older?
Could
drop both.
Well, not necessarily. I dropped the CD-ROM.
Yeah.
The CD writing portion of a DVD writer is slower than a standalone CD writer.
Yeah.
But they'll both read. So drop the ROM, keep the CD writer, and then with the DVD writer.
That's the way I'd go, too. Yeah, because 10-to-1 adds, the CD-ROM drive is older anyway.
Right, and a standalone CD writer is 50-52X, but the CD writing half of a DVD writer, even if you get the new 16X DVD writer, it's only 20-24X on CD writing.
Right, okay.
Right, so if speed is important to you, keep the CD writer. If you're kind of running marginal on your power supply, then get rid of them both.
No, power's no problem.
Well, there you go, then.
Hey, I got a quick other one here, maybe.
Sure.
Email?
Yeah.
Whenever I try to forward or do a copy of anything that looks like it has any HTML or photo type of content...
It won't work.
It seems to work.
Well, the recipient is going to see the code because the code can't execute. You can't use a forward or a copy. You have to use the redirect command if you want them to see the code. Whenever you do a forward, it puts the little forwarding characters in, or a copy, it doesn't copy all the right code, the invisible pieces of the code you can't see, so the recipient won't see it right.
Most of the time I get everything I want, but it just seems like it takes like a minute and a half for it to finally come up with the forward page.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's looking through all of those codes and trying to add in that forwarding character.
Okay.
It may be faster if you turn off the forwarding character, or depending on your email program, some put a little carrot in front of a forward line. Some will indent the forward line. It's that initial character that the forwarding is trying to put in.
Can I shut that off in Outlook?
Well, in Outlook, no.
Yeah, I know.
No. Yeah. Well, that's the other part of your problem, of course.
Yeah.
But, what it's doing is it looks through the thing. It may also be checking to see if there's any harmful HTML before it even allows you to forward it. And that's just simply going to take time.
Okay.
It's the way Microsoft wrote it.
Thanks. Hey, why don't you get a hold of your producer there and people at the WAM and get another night out?
There's an idea. All right. We'd love to do that. Thanks. Right.
Actually, I just ran across that the pictures in my library the other day. That was December of 2002, I think.
Yes,
it was.
Yeah. Yes, it was. Our next caller is Scott from Spencerport, New York. Welcome, Scott. What's your question?
Hey, guys. Thanks a lot for taking my call.
Sure.
I just built a monster computer in my sense of monster.
Yeah.
A lot bigger than I'm used to. A friend of mine helped me build it. But the problem I have is every time I play something, it sounds like the Chipmunks. Anybody talking, doesn't matter what it is. And somebody sends me an email, I play an attachment, it sounds like they're, you know, talking through a tin can. You know?
Audio or video?
It's audio.
videos work fine?
Oh, the video works great. I have no problem with video at all.
So if you play a video clip, everything sounds right?
No, it doesn't sound right. It looks right, but it sounds like they're the chipmunks. You know, they're just real high-pitched voice. You can't, it, let's say you're playing a newscaster that you would recognize.
What video card or sound card do you have in it?
I'm not sure if it's an onboard. I have an 8-bit motherboard.
Do you plug your speakers into the
into the back of the
right, but the back of the motherboard or into a slot cover?
No, it's into the tower, into the case.
Right, but
yeah,
it's
on board.
In line with the motherboard or in one of the slot covers?
No, it's got to be a slot cover. It's not in line with the motherboard.
So that's a separate sound card.
Right. Yeah,
it's one of a couple of things. The first and most likely choice is that you have the wrong driver.
Yeah, not the latest.
Okay.
Either not the latest or for a different model. Do you know what model your sound card is?
I got to look at it.
Yeah.
My buddy helped me out build it, and I'm not, you know, totally certain. I'm becoming, you know, real familiar with...
Not only the model, but within models, there's version numbers, and you also have to have that.
Right, and it's got to match the operating system. So you need to do a little research. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and each and every one of you on the greatest computer show in the known universe, Soundbites, on 1180 WHAM.
Before you our show, please make note of the following rules. 1. Turn your radio down. 2. Turn your radio down lower. 3. Remember, nobody has invented a good-sounding speakerphone yet. Don't use them. 4. Make sure you have a point. It makes for a more interesting show. 5. Calling does not guarantee you'll get on the air. No whining. 6. If you do get on the air, please do not tell the host what you just told the screener. We don't care. And 7. Is that radio turned down yet? We hope this will make for a more enjoyable program, and we thank you for your time.
Once again, the readers of the Democrat and... Answering your computer questions for over 15 years. It's Soundbites with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
And this is indeed... Soundbites. We are back to the phones, and we're talking to Rose from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Rose. What's your question?
Hi. How are you today?
Excellent. How are you?
Great. I followed all the hints. I shut my radio, so I'm hoping you're going to help me.
Okay.
I have what is called Open Book.
Yes.
But, I don't have it connected to any computer. All it does is read my mail. I am blind.
Mm-hmm.
And... what I have done is when I read my material and I don't want it, I delete it. But what I do when I push the delete button and then I need to go to select and then escape, as soon as I hit the select button, she conks out on me.
Now, Rose, is this running what, Windows 98?
I'm not sure. I'm just dumb on as far as computer goes, but okay. I know it's running on... software.
Okay.
I don't have hard drive because I don't use the computer at all.
Okay.
But when I turn the machine on, it is humming for me. I know it's going to be working, but my perfect Paul does not talk to me. And I do want him to talk.
Now, sure. All right, with the Open Book, are you using JAWS also?
Am I using what, dear?
JAWS.
No, I'm not. Just using, it's connected with
it's
a keyboard.
Yeah, it's strictly using the features out of the Open Book.
Just Open Book.
Okay.
Are you familiar with Open Book?
Oh, yes. I've used, I do a lot of work with the Commission for the Blind.
Oh,
so I've done work with both Open Book and JAWS.
Okay, no, I don't. It's connected with JAWS, but I'm not using JAWS at all. I'm using the pad.
Because sometimes if you had JAWS in there, sometimes that does cause an issue with Open Book, but... have you done any updates lately to the...
Nothing at all. Just to read my material, my books, or my mail.
All right.
About three, 4 weeks ago, it did tell me that there was a right error, and I took care of all that. But now he's not talking, so of course if there is anything on the screen, I can't see.
Yeah, which you can't see anyways. But, no, you might have a hardware issue. Now, are you still working with the Commission for the Blind?
No, I'm not.
I'll tell you what. If you wouldn't mind, on Monday morning, give me a call at my office, and the number is 442-4843.
All right.
4843. And maybe I can direct you to some other folks that will be glad to come over and help you work with this issue.
Okay. Would you repeat that number, dear?
Yes. It's my name's Dave Enright, and the number
is... Oh, David. You've been here before.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, just give me a call on Monday, okay?
All right.
All right.
4843...
442-4843.
All right, dear.
Okay,
thank you.
Rose.
You. Yeah. Have a nice day.
You too. Yeah, that's a tricky problem with open book. For you folks who are not familiar with it, for the Commission for the Blind, or any blind person, you know, literally, you know, without that program, it can't read a lot of their mail and everything else. So JAWS is another program that they use that does it too. But without it, they're dead in the water.
Yeah, it was easier back in the command line days when there was a command prompt and you typed it very easy for visually impaired users.
Yeah.
But trying to adapt a graphical interface for visually impaired users is tricky.
Yeah.
Well, we've been doing some. I've been doing some work with interface stuff and talking to some people who do interface stuff. And a lot of them are now saying, you know what? The graphical user interface isn't necessarily the best metaphor. It isn't necessarily the thing that works, not just for people who are visually impaired, but for anybody. There are things you can do much faster and much easier in at a command line or, you know, when you do voice activated, you're really doing command line.
Yep.
So there's a lot of talk about why so many people like the command line at Linux. Is it because they're wonks and geeks and power users? No. It's because so many things are just so much easier at the command line.
Well, yeah, once you memorize the commands.
Right.
Yeah, once you memorize the commands, it can be a lot faster.
Yeah.
It's that initial memorizing all the commands that is tricky for the novice user.
Right. Right. For example, moving files. If I want to move one file, all my MP3s from one directory to another, I can either go in and say, sort by type, click... Shift click, open the other window, drag, or at a command line, I can say move star.mp3 to blah, 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 blah,
yeah.
And I'm gone. So a lot of people are finding it much easier in general, for certain things at least, to use a non-command line interface. So there's going to be some changes, I think, in the future. Listen, we're going to take a quick break just in time for the great, great Brendan O'Riordan to read the news. And then we'll be back on the other side of the news with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and all of you on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Shopping. Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Get online now. Call 222-1180. The Choice One toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180 or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. Back to the phones in a quick minute, but first we're going to talk a little bit about the website, soundbites.org. That's Bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you. We have a poll every week, and this week's poll is about antivirus software, in specific, Microsoft's new beta version of their antivirus software. And the choices are, can't wait, woo! Don't think I want to be first, thanks? No, seriously. And I don't run Windows, you insensitive clod. So far, we have 67 votes, and no, seriously, seems to be in the lead by 52%. It's got 52% of the votes here. The next closest one is I don't think I want to be first, thanks to 24%. Only one person said can't wait, woohoo. Apparently, they're...
Probably a Mac user.
Probably a Mac user. Can't wait for you guys to get Microsoft's antivirus software. That's probably right.
Yeah.
Once you've finished actually voting in our poll, underneath the poll, you'll see a yellow box in which you can click and go to my website, asknick.com. That's asknick.com.
Ooh.
I know, it's exciting. And there you can leave an opinion about Microsoft's antivirus software. Please keep it clean. And shockingly, out of the 11, almost every one actually is about the antivirus software. I love that.
Which is unusual.
So please do that. Once you're done with that, take a look around my site. Think what you might like to do there. But also come back to our site at soundbites.org and click in on the forums where the greatest people on earth go every day and post some wonderful and wacky stuff. I'm consistently delighted by the stuff that these folks do. Well, we're back to the phones now. And our next caller is Karen from Wayland, New York. Welcome, Karen. What's your question?
Good morning.
Hi.
I have an HP Pavilion 500, and it died on me.
Yeah.
4 months out of warranty,
of
it
course.
Died.
Yeah.
And I don't know what to do. I can't do anything. Doesn't come on. You know, everything is just gone on it.
Have you had it checked out yet?
Pardon me?
Have you had it checked out yet, Karen?
Not yet, I haven't, no.
It might be just something as simple as the power supply.
Oh.
Yeah, with an old computer, the same thing with an old car, we just made an analogy this week. How much money you put into an old computer versus buying a new computer.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
And only a professional will be able to tell you what exactly
is
wrong with it.
Yeah, I mean, you're looking, you know, it might be just a simple power supply, which are like $30.
Oh, okay.
So what you need to do is bring it into someone like Dave or Steve or someone else, and what they'll do is they do have a diagnostic charge, but then if you know if they're going to do some work,
$32.48 for the diagnostic.
There you go, and then you know another $30 for the power supply, and you're back up and running.
Oh, okay. Okay, and you're located on Empire Boulevard?
Yes, we're just a half mile past Dan's Crafts towards Culver.
Oh, okay.
Across from St. Ambrose Church.
Yeah.
Okay.
And right near Donuts Delight. So if you miss that shop, you can
I'm originally
stop at
from
Delight,
Rochester,
pick up donuts
so
and bring them back.
I know what you're talking about.
We can be bribed.
Okay, thanks, Karen.
Thank you.
Our next caller is Judy from Penfield, New York. Welcome, Judy. What's your question?
Well, I have a couple questions, actually. I went and updated my computer to the Windows XP edition.
Yep.
That included the service pack, too, with it.
Yep.
Okay. And I've lost my modem drivers.
Yep.
Yeah. You've heard this before?
Mm-hmm. Oh. Oh, yeah. What happens often is, in particular with modems, Windows doesn't really have, the Windows CD doesn't really have the drivers on it for the modems, the XP drivers for the modems.
Mm-hmm.
Because apparently Microsoft doesn't care. And so what you need to do, that's not fair. Of course they care.
I didn't hear a thing.
Yeah. They just don't include the drivers sometimes for certain models.
Well,
so
like
what
scanners
you need
either.
To do, right. So what you need to do, and of course you can't do this because you can't get online, so you're going to have to go to a friend's house and get them to burn you a CD.
Uh-huh.
You need to go to the website of the modem manufacturer, not Microsoft's site, but the manufacturer of the modem, and download the latest drivers for that specific modem for Windows XP.
Service Pack 2.
Service Pack 2. And then install those drivers, and you should be fine.
Okay. I talked with the Microsoft people, and they led me to a website to go to. It's tinyurl.com.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And /2SH2J. And I went to that website, and I did find the drivers.
Okay.
I don't know where to put them.
What it is it's a file. What you got to do is you download that file, say, I don't know if you can do it on that same machine, but if you can't, what you do is you, say, put it on a disk.
I went to my son's house, and
okay.
I did do that.
All right, and you bring that home, and what you got to do is then copy that from the, whether it's a CD or a 3.5, you create a folder on your C drive and call it modem, and you copy that file into it. All right?
Yep.
So now what you do is usually that's an executable. So you have to double-click on it, and what it does is expand all the other files that it needs to install that.
Yeah.
Now, once it does that, you might want to look and see if there's a setup. Probably not.
There might be a README file. In fact, there should have been these instructions on the website before you download the file.
Yeah. But normally, then, what you do is it expands all those files. Then what you would do is then go back into the control panel under the device manager, under system device manager. You'll see that for your modem, there's under the plus sign for modems, you'll see your modem listed there. If you right-click on that and go properties, from there you can then update the drivers. And then what it'll ask you is, all right, well, where are these drivers? And you can point it to that folder that you created called modem.
Okay, so I go to the control panel. I go to the system device manager.
You go into system, and there's a thing there for device manager.
Okay, and then you
click on that, you'll see your whole list. Next to the plus sign, next to the modem, you click on that, you'll see the actual modem. Say it's any modem brand.
Any Win modem.
Yeah, any Win modem. You right-click on it, go properties, and within the properties, there's a thing that says update drivers. And again, you'll ask you, all right, where are they? And you just point it to that folder that you just created called modem, and it'll update it, and it should solve your problem.
Pretty simple. All right, our next caller is Peter from Irondequoit. Welcome, Peter. What's your question?
Hi. I just got a new computer for Christmas, and I'm retiring my old one.
Mm-hmm. Good for you.
But I'm still using dial-up. I have a 56K modem, and it has like a 25-pin connector, but the new computer has like a 9-pin.
Yep.
Can I buy a cable at my local electronics store, too, or do I have to buy something else?
Yeah, can get a converter.
You can get an adapter cheaper than a new cable. A 25 to 9 adapter is probably $10. A cable would be 20.
Right, but here's the deal, Peter. You can get either one, either a connector for your old cable or a brand new cable. Getting a connector for an old cable means you've got to make sure all those connections are nice and tight.
Yeah.
And there's more of them in that extra little bit than there are in just one cable. So it's your choice, $10 or $20, doesn't matter.
Or what might be even cheaper and better is this is an external modem.
Yeah.
Get an internal one. Probably what you're going to spend on the cable and then get that hooked up, and it's taking additional space out on your desktop or whatever, you can just go and buy an internal one for about $20.
No kidding.
You know, I mean, it's a new, get the new hardware modems and throw that in. And, you know, it does better handshaking and everything else if that's an older modem, especially if it's an external.
US Robotics 56K.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, you go with a new internal one, like I say, for $20 or so, and that way you one less piece of equipment hanging up and a power cord now that's not there and everything else.
Right.
I'd go internal.
Sometimes it's convenient to be able to turn off your modem without turning off the whole computer.
Yes, and so that's a choice. And, of course, you don't get the cute blinky lights.
Yeah.
This is all set up for high speed, but for monthly cost factor, I'm just using what I have.
Yeah. Sure, why not? But those are your choices, $10 for a connector, $20 for a cable, or $20 for a whole new modem. And you can pick whichever one of those you want. And all three of those you can get anywhere locally.
Okay. That's all I need to know. Thank
there you go, Peter. Our next caller is Stu from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Stu. What's your question?
Thank you. I've got a Dell laptop, and it originally came with Windows XP Professional.
Mm-hmm.
And a month or so ago, I did download the Service Pack 2.
Yep.
And everything went fine. My only problem has been is that I am not able to, when I get an email and it has a link in there for me to go to a website.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I've gone into, it won't go. It doesn't do anything. So I went into the tools options, and I enabled everything. And I did the same thing in Outlook Express because that's where I download my emails, and enabled everything there too.
Right.
And nothing works. I just cannot access any of these websites from a link.
When you say you went into your Outlook Express and when you went into your Internet Explorer, did you go into the Internet options and lower the
security?
It was all on. They're on medium. Nothing is on high.
We have a web link for this specific problem.
There you go.
On the Soundbites website page at soundbites.org, go down to I heard a link on your show, and there's one, hyperlinks don't work in Outlook Express.
There you go. Check that out, and it'll give you the answer you need. We're going to take another quick break, but we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, and me, Nick Francesco, on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Introducing Running Computer Show. Back to more Sound Bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
And this is indeed Sound Bites. And now, ladies and gentlemen, we have a very special guest on Sound Bites. Drum roll, please. No, apparently no drum roll. It's Moody Blues. Welcome, Moody. What's up?
Well, not too much. Question about installing a second hard drive on my computer.
Mm-hmm.
I picked up a 160-gig hard drive, which I ultimately want to replace my 40-gig master.
Mm-hmm.
I installed it this morning as a slave, used a program called Copy Commander to copy the data from the master to the slave drive.
Yeah.
It copied my dual boot system, and I looked at it as a slave drive, and everything seemed to be there, the two partitions, one for Windows 98 and one for Windows XP.
Mm-hmm.
When I changed the drive and made it a master, it went through the boot process. It brought up the dual boot screen, gave me the choice of Windows XP and Windows 98. I chose Windows 98 first, and it said it was an invalid system disk. And then when I tried rebooting to XP, it kind of locked up on the initial XP screen.
Yeah, I'm wondering how well it's actually copying the hidden files.
Well, part of the problem is it depends on what you use to create your dual boot system. Some of the, in fact, all the ones that I know of, actually use sector numbers to put stuff, to tell it where stuff is. And, of course, copying from a smaller hard drive to a bigger hard drive, you've changed the sectors that things go to.
Okay.
And therefore, the dual boot as it now stands actually won't work.
Okay.
Ghost is a better product to use for copying.
Yeah, but I don't even know if Ghost will do this.
For the dual boot.
Well, I've had it to both 98 and Windows 2000.
Right.
And Ghost worked fine on that, going to a bigger...
Okay,
no,
then...
Since Symantec bought Ghost, you can't use it for any Windows Server product.
Right.
You have to buy the $1,000 Ghost Server Edition or whatever it is.
Right.
But he's not doing that, so he should be fine. Moody, what it sounds like is you're going to have to go to a different product. It sounds like Copy Commander just copies stuff over as opposed to intelligently making the changes you need when you go to a bigger hard drive.
Especially with fine if he stayed with a 40 gig.
Well, it may work fine if you only had one OS. It's probably the dual boot stuff.
Right, because it's the dual boot stuff that whatever particular one he used actually does it by a specific sector number. And, of course, now it's in different places. All right, our next caller is Mickey from Henrietta. Well, before we get to Mickey, I just do want to say that you can find Moody Blues in the Soundbites forums. One of the six son of a guns in the Soundbites forums every week. Our next caller, Mickey from Henrietta. Welcome, Mickey. What's your question?
Hi. My daughter's computer won't come up in safe mode. I've tried going through it's Windows XP. She's got Service Pack 1, not Service Pack 2.
Okay.
Now you want to know that?
Yeah.
Went through trying it all three different ways, you know, with command prompts, et cetera. Goes through and then throws it back up to the initial screen.
Now it'll come up in regular mode, but not in safe mode.
Yeah.
When you have the chance to select safe mode?
No matter how I select it, will not come up.
So it's listed there, even with safe mode with networking.
Yep, safe mode with command
prompt.
None of
those are working.
Try all three ways, won't come up.
It's usually the other way around.
Yeah.
I know. Now I did. I went to the Microsoft site, and I actually found something that sounds like it. That's talking about installing the Windows Recovery Console again. That it's corrupted.
But
I didn't want to do that. No, so I talked to somebody.
Yeah, what you can do is you can actually install XP over XP, and basically what you do is, what type of computer is this? Home built?
Sort of. It started out as a Median, I think, and I've done some. I've put in another hard drive and changed a couple things.
You can put the CD in, and matter of fact, I've got a thing on my tips. If you go to Dave's tips, installing XP over XP, and I give you sort of a step-by-step instructions on how to do all this.
Okay, because I tried that once, and I wound up having to redo the whole drive.
Yeah, the first thing you might want to start with is the system file checker. It's a pretty easy scan to run.
Yeah, we discovered it when I started to teach her how to do the whole security tango.
Mm-hmm.
And we can go through the whole tango, clean all kinds of stuff out. So system checker's fine. We defragged. All of that's fine.
Yes, that's Mickey, it's something corrupted that the
Mickey, one other thing you might want to do before doing the Windows update, or, you know, the Windows reinstall, go to start, go to run, type in CMD for command. And then say check disk, the CHK DSK, space C colon, space forward slash R. Now it's going to say that you got to restart. Now what it'll do is it'll reboot, and then it'll go through a series of five different things and check the integrity of the Windows operating system. And that usually, I've had some luck with that too in fixing some of your Windows issues. So try that first. That's a less, you know, less hassle than putting in the CD and going through all that again.
Just a couple minutes left for Ethan from Fairport. Welcome, Ethan. What's your question?
Hi, thanks very much. My wife is a school teacher in a local district, and they use a webmail server that she accesses from the internet at home. Since we've loaded Service Pack 2, in order to actually send or receive her email, she has to click a button that brings up a pop-up, and it's telling me that the pop-up is blocked. Now, we hit the thing to unblock the pop-up, but it doesn't work. Is this a Service Pack 2 issue? Is this a server issue for the
school district?
It's
probably a Service Pack 2 issue.
An overly aggressive pop-up manager.
Because it's built in new security and firewall and everything else with Service Pack 2.
How do we bypass it?
Try lowering the security in Internet Explorer.
Or get rid of Service Pack 2.
Or under the control panel for Internet options. Lower the security until you can actually get to it, and then from there you can go in and unblock the pop-up and move on from there. But you have to be able to get to it before you can really unblock it.
How do we lower the security?
Under Internet options, under the control panel.
Internet options, control panel.
Right. Well, control panel first, and then Internet options inside there.
Security.
Okay, we'll
and
try it.
And there's a security tab there.
We'll try it. Thank you.
See, that's the problem. 99% of the pop-ups you want to block, but every now and then your bank will pop one up. You know, there may be a pop-up you want to see, and so it's hard to block all pop-ups.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's an ongoing plus the additional security that Service Pack 2 puts in, that it wants to control things, the firewall and everything else, even though you might have zone alarm or whatever in there, it wants to do its thing and cause more issues.
Right. One of the problems that I have with the Microsoft security system is that it really doesn't seem to be easy to figure out. Well, it doesn't seem to be easy to figure out how to do things, whereas when you get to something like zone alarm, you have all kinds of things you can do. So our recommendation generally to people is to turn off the Microsoft firewall and security system and load Zone Alarm instead. That's generally where we think most people ought to be. Listen, we're done for another week. I want to thank everybody who called in. I want to apologize to everybody to whom we did not get. I want to thank Dave Enright, Steve Ray, and of course, the magnificent Rob Linton. I'm Nick Francesco, and we're going to take you to football now. It's very exciting. But we will be back here next Sunday at 11 a.m. on the greatest computer show in the known universe, Soundbites, only on 1180 WHAM.